be it then. Are we live? Okay, good. Just checking. I've only got three things, but that's no determinant of how long they'll take to discuss. But I've only got three things on the list tonight. First one is actually to do with the fact that the Bridge in the Gap project, the lottery funded project for the charity, is now ended. And we, as a three, have wondered if we should look at what the effect of that has been in relation to spiritual dynamics, hindrances, accusations, problems and issues that may have held us back, may hold us back in the future. And as a 12, whether we could step in about that and deal with any spiritual residue that might be left over, so that we're moving on afresh. Mm. Nope. Any thoughts on that? Do we think that might be likely?
So how do we mark the end of the old and begin of the new? Is there anything we actually need to do practically as well as spiritually? Is there anything we need to do?
Have a night out?
Have a night out.
Another one?
Celebrate.
But, yeah, I mean, in terms of, is there anything we actually need to physically do, or do in the building, or other than obviously the spiritual side of it is important, but then what do we do at work at that? Is there anything practically that we might think of doing? God wants us to do perhaps.
Yeah, well, the first things we've done is take the signs down.
Yeah.
Have we gone? Today?
The downstairs have gone. They have been removed.
Yeah,
because they very much stamp their name on everything and lay claim to whatever you've done. And actually, it ain't theirs, it's God's. So, from that point of view, it's good to take the signs down. But what else? So is there anything else we need to do? So it'd be really good to get some insight on that.
Yeah, we've got some equipment still with signs on. I think some chairs may have.
Do we need
to take them off or leave them on?
That's a tricky one,
in
because it's assets.
In theory, they have to. It has to be acknowledged that they've purchased them. So, which they did.
Okay. They've just got a sack over them or something.
Although the label police are unlikely to call.
Which chairs are those?
Well, there's some
office chairs and basically any capital equipment that we purchased with lottery money.
They want to put a sticker on it.
They want to put a sticker on it because it was just one of the conditions for the grant. We had to sticker everything that they purchased.
But was it a condition that has to stay off there after the grant ends?
Well, I think that is a technicality.
Technicality. I would think. I doubt whether it says anything.
Until
probably
it dies,
probably
so
doubt whether it says
useful.
Anything. I wouldn't think.
Yeah. So. Probably safe if you spot them, remove it.
So the paper and everything will be changed, right? The head of paper and all that sort of stuff, and the compliment slips, and everything will just be redone.
Well, the compliment slips don't have
it on,
nor does the headed paper.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
It's the printed forms, like the profiles and those sorts of things that have got it on.
And the brochures, I guess, that we've...
Anything we reprint might
they're
have
they're a bit out of date now anyway, aren't they? So do we want to remove those for now?
Well, they're all we've got for people who want information about.
It's just that they're. They talk about the gym and stuff, which is obviously.
Yes.
Not there. Well, it is, but it's not. Certainly.
It is, but it's not.
And the digital inclusion stuff is in there as well.
Yep. But there's stuff on the website and things like that that we need to change as well. Which is going to be changed. So should we take a few minutes and step in and see what God says then? What did we get from that then? Do you have anything you want to share?
Things that I saw, like a pair of stocks, shackles on, and I saw a hot air balloon. It was powered, it was free, but actually it was still tethered to the. It wasn't free to go where it needed to go.
Did you know what the tether was? Did you see what the tether might be?
No. Well, I saw something very similar. Because I saw the building tethered to the ground. But what I got was the lottery earthed the project, so the wire that was tethering it was like an earth wire. So it was stopping it from getting supernatural power.
Obviously got it wrong because I thought we were just stepping in generally.
There's no wrong.
So I think I got the end picture.
Cool.
That's good.
So I saw a jousting competition and it was just spectacular, but Jesus was our champion and we were just watching. He won, obviously. So then we went back to this castle with him, but this castle was really dark, and then the drawbridge came down and the window shutters opened and the flags went up, and it was like everything that has been contained was now ready for redistribution. That's the word I got, redistribution. And so the angels came and I felt God say, now is the time to be ready, but are we ready, and are we ready for what? Now is the time to be ready. So that was like the.
That was good.
Yes.
Encouraging.
I got something that sort of fitted in with that. I got a coat of arms, and there's a crown on the top, and then the four faces: the lion, the eagle, the ox, the eagle, and the lamb. And then I got open windows, like wooden windows.
Yeah.
That were open.
I didn't get any sort of knowledge of what that meant. I got that we've been gagged and restricted. And like an accusation that we won't have enough resources to do what we want to do. And it wasn't, I didn't feel the accusation was just like money. But it's like, because we've got such thing, big vision, things that we want to find what we do, it's just like, well, you never have enough resources to do these things. You barely got enough to keep going. Thing. And then I got this really weird thing, and it's about survival bags, which is an interesting dynamic that's thrown into our mix. And that, because they now have a premises.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this thing, like, almost the. A tauntingy thing that survival bags will draw people away as a accusation. So I feel there is some stuff, because they're very anti us, the same as Nibbles were a few years ago. That I don't know quite what, but I feel we need to do something in that to sort of clear that out of the way. I've pondered recently several times when there have been comments about things about responding on behalf of, not in a horrible way. Just as like, oh, we desperately need duvet covers and sleeping bags. We've got guys going, well, they're the same guys that we're giving duvets and sleeping bags to. And I've pondered, you know, it's like, oh, any time, you know, send them to the Freedom Centre. We always
have. We've got plenty.
We've got plenty. And I'm like, no, please.
We have an abundance. We're happy to give away.
But there's something that's very undermining.
As we have been doing for the past 10 years.
And they're drawing support. And I just feel that there's something that we need to do on that one in light of coming out from under the lottery stuff. It's very similar to Nibbles, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't quite know what that, but that was an accusation that I've got.
Mm-hmm.
That Survival Bags will draw people.
Where's their premises now?
Bear Street. And they've got a kitchenette in there, and I have a feeling, because I looked it up last night to see where, try and see where it was, 27 Bear Street. And I think there may be some sort of shower facility-ish thing in there, and I was like, ah.
You're trying to cop that. What the entity is trying to do is to provide an alternative.
It's to counterfeit in town to draw people that we're working with. And in essence, it's not a problem other people supporting. It's just we've supported people for a long time and building relationships, and now having our restrictions removed, that we can offer other things.
Yeah.
And I feel that the enemy is trying to draw them away so they won't come into fullness of what we'll have on offer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I was kind of pondering all that, and then I kind of saw the good bit, which was like, we've been capped and it's time to like take the lid off, because there are no limits.
I saw quite similar things. Saw that we've agreed to limitations, reliance on man and not God. Red tape and stipulations from the lottery. Tongue-tied, and that we've masked who we are. Then I just felt, is there a song, God of All Faithfulness, God of All Hope? Is that a hymn or something?
Mm.
That's kind of, I could hear it being sung in my head. Not by me, it was tuneful.
Joe did. So I didn't think we'd actually done a court case thing, so I just was looking at the actual, what was going on in the atmosphere of the dialect. So I saw just veils, and those veils were pulled open, and there was like lots of questions. You know, what do you see? Now the veils are pulled back, what do you see? And then it was like, okay, but the veils weren't removed. They were just pulled back. So how do you remove them? And then rather than just what we see, it's what reality do we want to see? Mm-hmm. And what are we going to choose to see? Because we can see what there is, or we can see what we believe should be. So it's got sort of like, okay, here's all the choices. Here's it, and you look and think, ah, okay, so we're looking at this, but actually, what would we like to see? And that's our choice, effectively. If we're aligned with what God's heart is, then we can choose. I saw a lot of angels and cloud witnesses. They were watching as the veils were pulled back, and were like waiting to be engaged when we actually declare and what we see, or what we want to see. So they were sort of like, okay, here's some resources, but they're only going to be released when we actually know what we're looking at from a this is what we're going to see, perspective. And I felt the old name needs to be renewed, because the old name is associated with an old project, but the actual name is still applicable. How do we bridge the gap between people and God, rather than people and help? And I think it's like the old name needs to be renewed. So we still have to ask that question. How do we bridge the gap? But the question is set with a different set of criteria as from what it was before. So having saw those things, it's like, so I was just pondering it. It was like, okay, what do we need to legislate for? So if we're going to believe for this, whatever that might be, how are we going to legislate for that? How are we going to communicate that? How then are we going to see all the mountains involved in that? That's what I felt, what I was seeing was like a round table for all the mountains around the outside, looking in, and then actually being involved in some way as part of the setting the boundary effectively for what was on the inside. Those who sort of got accusations, we just need to deal with those, don't we? From a court perspective. Essentially, then it's okay. Administrating a verdict is what we have to do afterwards in terms of the legislating for the freedom that we have, that verdict. So can do that. Okay, well, if we do the court case and then anyone who has had accusations already can accept those accusations and deal with them, and anyone who may get some more as we're part of the court case can also chip in with that as well. So it would be a good thing to do. Okay. So we convene the court of accusation on behalf of the blueprint and how that blueprint's outworked here through the project that run here. We stand together in agreement, representing God's plan and purpose for this place. We stand under the covering of the love of God, the new covenant, the blood of Jesus, clothed with robes of righteousness, ready to accept, receive accusation.
whether on behalf of myself and the organisation, stand in agreement that we have agreed to limitations, that we've had a reliance on man and not God, that we've been bound by red tape and stipulations, that we've been tongue-tied, and that we've masked who we are. Father, I repent, apart from me with any of these things and all of these things. And I receive your forgiveness on behalf of myself and the organisation.
On behalf of myself and the organisation, I accept and acknowledge the accusations. We've been gagged, been restricted. The accusation that survival bags will draw people away, and that we won't have enough resources to do what we want to do. Father, I repent for partnering with these accusations. I plead guilty for accepting them, and now I repent and turn away from them. I separate myself and the organisation from them, and I nail them to the cross. And I ask your forgiveness for accepting them.
Father, I stand as part of the 12 representing the organisation, and I accept their accusations and plead guilty of fear, it won't work, not enough. False idol, the lottery provided their needs. And I saw a big umbrella that was stopping the reign of God. So I repent and I renounce these accusations. I ask your forgiveness for partnering with them. And I nail each one to the cross.
Father, I stand on part of myself and proud and the organisation and acknowledge accusations of the trading floor connected to the fire. I've been shackled in stocks and I've been tethered to the ground and not been able to be free. Father, I acknowledge these things and I'm guilty to them. And I ask for your forgiveness in nailing each one onto the cross and breaking the green off them and the power of their power.
Father, on behalf of the organisation and the 12, I accept the accusations that we were reliant on the lottery and not on you for our finances. That the lottery claimed the work that was done in its name, not in your name. That we were in fear of lack for finance. And that we allowed ourselves to be earthed and tethered rather than getting supernatural provision. So Father, I accept these accusations. I repent of them, of partnering with them, of being in agreement with them on behalf of the organisation and myself. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus in our defence to wipe away the effects of these things on the organisation all the way into the past and into the future. Father, I ask for a verdict of not guilty. I apply that verdict not guilty to these accusations and the effects of them and ask for divorce papers to separate myself, the 12 and the organisation from the effects that these would have had on us. We just receive those robes of righteousness. Thank you and bless you in Jesus' name.
Receive this verdict. We accept the authority to administrate it, and we call for an untethering and a freedom from all restrictions We call every veil to be pulled back, and those veils which have hidden and covered us to be removed. As the veils are removed, we administrate an open heaven. We release the angelic and the cloud of witness resources to partner with us. We call for the activation of the exchange. We're free to see lives not just blessed, but transformed. We call forth salvation, healing, wholeness. We call forth truth, identity, everything that's been hidden and restricted within people to come forth. We call for the light to shine, for the glory of God to be manifested. We call for an arising and shining. We call for you to be lifted up, so you will draw people to yourself. And we call for a new reality, a new bridging the gap between you and people who've lost their identity, lost their sense of purpose, are without hope. So we call for new hope. We call for a release of blessing in all forms, an empowerment to prosper and succeed and fulfill everything that you have appointed us to do. We call for the harvest. We call for the harvesters to be released. The hunter-gathering angels to be released. We call out into the highways and byways, and we call for people to come to the light. We call for that new reality to be seen, where we see your provision, your blessing, your power, we call for heaven and earth to function together in unity of heart and mind and purpose.
That's what we need to do practically, physically. Or I'm just happy that that's all done. The rest is just a case of changing the decor.
It's else, you might think of anything else, might you? But might show us some odd things along the way.
Mm. I think taking signs down and moving labels, anything that would lay claim, get rid of that, but I don't know what else we need to do really.
So the thinking is, okay, if we're establishing something which is coming from a new perspective, how is that going to be administrated, governed? So it's like in everything else we have a government in place. Yeah. And I think that's obviously part of the sort of blueprint out working on the ground, but it doesn't really have a representation here, does it? Other than separate from the three, there's no separate person who's representing it. I wonder whether we need to look at how is that going to be helping, you know, part of this, because we've still got spaces on the 12 as part of government. Because I think we've removed all the barriers and there's no... It isn't just a separate thing, it's integral to the blueprint.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how would we administrate that and maintain the government of it? Because I think it's really, really important that it's... Well, now we've got new access because everything's removed. Yeah. It isn't just going to just sort of meander along, is it, on its own? So, yeah, we could just think about what would that look like? How would that function? How would that work? How would, on the day-to-day basis, how do we maintain, you know, an open heaven, the right atmosphere, an openness to the good news, you know, sort of, because the practical needs that people have aren't going to disappear. So, you know, those are still going to be there, and therefore there's still going to be a need to meet that need, engage those people. But so we're looking to add a new dimension to that, which is obviously looking to meet their spiritual need, which is ultimately their primary need. You know, they can be fed and, you know, still not know they are. So it's a sense of, you know, looking at how does that work, what does it look like, you know, how would we see it from a, you know, no restrictions point of view, because what we're saying is we haven't got any restrictions anymore, so what does that mean? You know, how does that actually practically facilitate it within our mindsets, the outworking of what we do, how we do it, you know, all those sort of basic things. Because if we don't change our thinking and see it different, then it will still be the same in our way of thinking.
Yep.
So it's almost like, what are the things which will, in a sense, make it different from how we do it? Whether it be governed or how we, you know, administrate who comes in, you know, various things. I mean, there's so many spiritual dynamics that can come our way, which generally we just let in the door, don't we? To a degree.
They tend to come with the people.
Yeah, they do. And that's, you know, but that doesn't mean that we have to be subject to what those people bring. And it's like, but how would we not? And how would we look at carrying a more governmental view of how we administrate what goes on? And, you know, I'm not going to answer, I'm just saying. Some questions are, you know, something, you know, I would suggest if things are going to be different, then things have to be different. You know, maybe that's sort of something to ponder. And that may be something that we need to, you know, we're looking obviously to draw people as volunteers and to help equip people and have people more involved. Well, you know, in terms of all our mountains, what would our mountains do governmentally towards each of the areas? So, freedom. How would the Freedom Mountain actually administrate freedom within the building and with all the things that freedom brings, like good news or blessing, or each of the areas, really, even in terms of media, you know, how do we communicate with people most effectively now that we're not free in what we share or how we share it, but how would we do that? You know, it's those type of things that if there are no barriers, then the governmental aspect of it needs to be thought about from all the mountain perspectives, because that's how we can, in a sense, input. Yeah. The actual practical needs to be done in an agreed way and in an equipped way, so that everyone who does come and do something are, you know, fitting in with how things are going to be done. But from a spiritual government's perspective, I think every mountain really needs to look and say, well, what's our part in creating this dynamic for all those things, for all the harmony and everything that we know that we've been given authority must have an impact here,
yep,
as well as have an impact beyond here,
yep,
must have an impact here. But how? How would that work? How would that be facilitated? Because I think, you know, we don't want anyone to think, oh, I haven't really got anything to do with that. That's they do that somewhere else. That's not really our responsibility. Well, actually, it is, isn't it? It's all our responsibility to see how we can fulfil the fullness of what God's got here and beyond.
Yeah.
I'm sure the people who work here, you know, those who are in tune with what we do, will be in their own lives administrating their own sphere or how they outwork their ministry or what God's calling them to do. You know, what's the Father doing on a day-to-day basis? But I think that needs more of a governmental, environmental perspective of all of us. You know, for that to be effective as it can be.
I was actually thinking of a working party from all sort of the mountains who are present that have an input into the project to have, you know, time together to administrate each of those areas, but also to input and like back and feedback from what, you know, the mountains are doing. That would probably also involve exchange, because it's like this will be a point of exchange.
Yeah.
When you talk about having someone representative here from the project, do you mean that would be like a mountain and have its own bench? Was that what you and Phil and you kind of the bench overseeing all of that?
Yeah.
So it's already got a bench?
To an extent,
to an extent, yeah.
So, what do you mean by representative?
Well, in a sense, it's like
from that perspective, the only other person that could attend here would be Phil. If you're talking about that as a, or you're not talking about another bench, are you? Because it's really got one.
No, I'm not talking about another bench, but I'm talking about actually, it's like, in a sense, several people are here with different hats on.
Yes, but I don't understand, because who else would there be?
Well, I'm not saying it has to be a separate person, but it does need to have
a hats.
Well, I just think I think it just needs to be thought. When generally what we talk about, we don't talk about that here. very, very rarely is that ever really brought up. And I think it should be brought here to, hey, there are this dynamic going on, there's this situation, how do we govern, how do we administrate into that, just like we do in everything else. Because I think that would give the input from this group to be able to help with any particular things that have come up or any breakthroughs we need or situations, because we don't really, it hasn't been talked about here, although we've talked about, yes, that it's a bench, but actually we don't talk about those things. I think it would be good to, like, to have a report like we have with the other benches, just as, so that everyone's aware and can input spiritually into that when those issues come up. I mean, because I think that's what this is about. It's governmental, isn't it? From a, hey, if we don't know, if I don't know, if all the benches and the mountains don't know that there's this issue that we're really looking for a breakthrough in, then they can input. So it'd be great if Phil was able to actually be here and wanted to be. Miracles happen, and these changes have happened up to this point.
Yeah. So I was just clarifying what you were talking about. Yeah. There's already a bench that
was. Yes, but it generally isn't brought. Stuff isn't generally brought here, and I think we're looking now from a new perspective. It is, but that doesn't mean that we determine what goes on day to day. But we should have a spiritual input, be able to help and support any particular things that are going on that need help with. You know, particularly, I think, with, it's like, if we're going to see a change in reaching people, then there are several of the things here that are really key in that, aren't they? I mean, you know, the health magic, for instance, you know, we really want to see health administrated. Mental health, huge, obviously, problem. And all the other areas of health, freedom, good news, exchange, you know, everyone's got a part to play in that, which I think we can just keep awareness of if we have the same sort of basic, hey, this is what's going on type report, as we do for everything else. Because I think that would help communication and input, really. Graham's kindly filled the filter one up. I might as well empty some. To bring project stuff here. I don't think we need a separate group. I think the mountains are all represented here anyway. What I was mulling over was the practicalities. And my concerns would be that I wouldn't want from a physical earthbound management viewpoint any spiritual activities taking place without full agreement of everybody. So what I would be concerned about is mountains acting unilaterally and causing earthly outworkings to occur that we weren't expecting. I think as we get
better at this stuff, we will see more definite responses to our activity spiritually at working on Earth. So rather than having mountains go, I did this, and people finding out afterwards, I wouldn't want to see a situation where that was happening. I'd rather things were done in collaboration and in relationship rather than isolation. I don't think that's been the case to now, so that would be my concern. I think the other thing we would need to be careful of is there's stuff that can be commercially sensitive that would probably need to be explored spiritually, but would have to stay in this room. And the problem with that would be, actually, some of it you wouldn't even be able to share with your colleagues or even sometimes your partner, because some of it needs to stay quiet. If there's stuff that we're legally involved in and can't talk about, but spiritually and governmentally, we would want an input from the mountains into that. So we'd have to understand that operating governmentally at that level would be very different to what we've done before.
What do you mean by illegally?
Not illegally, legally.
Oh, I thought it was illegal.
No, we don't do
illegal. I was going to say,
I actually thought it was illegal.
No, but there's stuff, there are things that we are being asked, that I'm asked to be involved in as an organisation, where we have got confidentiality agreements in place, or, you know, there might maybe legal implications, and there's information that was being shared with us that's not common knowledge. But from a spiritual perspective and from a blueprint perspective, it would be useful to be able to discuss that in a more open forum so that we could bring the right spirit to bear on it. But there would be consequences if it got out. And also, if we weren't wise about everything, unintended consequences would not be very helpful. Particularly as people we're already dealing with are challenging. So, in terms of things like survival bags, I'm not concerned about that. I think they're going to overexpose themselves and end up in a situation where they'll do something daft enough for authorities to shut them down.
Yeah, I just wondered if there's anything that we needed to do from our...
No, I think God's opening doors in other areas right now for us to get involved. I mean, I was at a meeting today that's related to health and social care provision and how the local authority, well, Devon County, wants to change the way it provides social care to people who get 0 to 10 hours of care a week. And that's just one area that we're now being invited to contribute to, and that's something that I see as a real exchange opportunity. There's stuff around drug and alcohol that's happening, there's stuff around homelessness that's happening, there's stuff around offending behaviour and offenders that's happening. There's all these things that are happening at a strategic level that actually is an organisation we should be involved in and are being asked to be involved in, but are commercially sensitive. So if we were to truly apply this, and I was to share some of that stuff, or we were to bring other things, then actually we've got to make sure we are governmental about it, and wise. So that's my only caveat, really.
Yeah. I think in all the stuff like you're talking about with potential issues, where our problems used to be, we were not accepted by the other agencies. That isn't the case now. Mm-hmm. But actually, the others who are not in such a privileged position of being in, and they're on the outside, are obviously, in a sense, creating spiritual dynamics. We've got to be careful that we must always operate in the opposite spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they are asking for things, to actually publicly say, we've got lots of things that if you'd love, then I think that's the opposite spirit.
Well,
because we're actually saying we're not wanting any people that you may come across who need help. We're open to help, and we have resources.
Well, no, obviously,
but obviously you have to have the right
make sure of my own
yes motive. Right.
Yeah,
but innate, you know, sort of, in if
I
you
think
come,
I might
if
going to be the right, but I'll just say,
yeah, if you come in with the opposite spirit, then you have
the thing is they're very good at using the whole Facebook thing inappropriately to gain support. And they gain
they're actually very clever. I mean, because they've moved into new premises, and they were saying if each of our 1,000 supporters donated £1, we'd have £1,000 to set up. And people are like, done it, done it, done it, done it. You know, it's just like, it's very clever, isn't it?
I'm
not saying that's legal. Yeah.
They're not even a registered charity. You know, it's just bonkers.
The thing is, you know, the enemy's trying to do stuff, but we have to remember that God is God, and that, you know, He's given us a spiritual heavenly government that we can outwork. And you know, when we stop to call in the people that need to come in, they'll come.
Mm. Yeah, I guess so. I'm just thinking of the people being snatched away at the moment. That's why. Not about that. I know that God's doing it. We've worked a really long time, and God is bringing the organisations and the strategic things that we need. I know all that from my perspective. It's just the on the ground people that are vulnerable at the minute are being sidetracked.
Well, they're being exploited for their own needs, effectively.
Yeah. Which is
it'll come to light.
Okay.
I'll do something daft enough to get them shut down eventually.
Yeah, because if they are soliciting money.
Yeah.
And they have no legal entity to receive that money, then technically that is
fraud.
Because it's a person who must be receiving it.
Someone
must be receiving it, and if they're not a
CIC, though.
Mm-hmm. Not yet. I keep checking.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if they're not actually a legal entity, then those are the technical things which are difficult.
So I check everything. It was just obviously I'm pondering because
a big effect. Yeah, well, they kind of lure them in with all sorts of promises and poor behaviour. Inappropriate relationships. Cool. Right, okay, so that was end of Bridge of the Gap. When we were talking the other day, we were talking about developing ministry, developing things that we wanted to see here to release people into their identity. And we were discussing forgiveness therapy, but it turned into a discussion about truth therapy, which we felt was probably something much wider than just forgiveness therapy. It's like, how do we bring people into the truth of their identity? So we wanted to ask for input on what would we be pulling together, what would it be possible to create, what would God's solution be to help people find their identity, what could we find by way of a intervention, a therapy, a course or something that would start to introduce people to who they really are. And what do we think about that? Because you looked at the forgiveness therapy thing, didn't you, Deb? What were your thoughts on that?
I thought it was fantastic.
But.
And I think we all thought it was fantastic. But, didn't we? Mm-hmm. This is my forgiveness therapy book, actually.
That's handy.
Yeah, it was. It was really excellent, but it just didn't sit. Although I do think that forgiveness is the way in for people. I do think that
it's really important.
It is something that we need to offer, and truth maybe, but for most people they're stuck with it right now is because they've been wounded, damaged, they've got wound. You know, it's the forgiveness.
The truth isn't separate from forgiveness. It's an aspect of forgiveness that then leads on to more. It's just, we don't want to get stuck in, well, we help people get deal with their forgiveness, but they don't know they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
no, you know, but I see personally forgiveness as a way of unlocking all the rest of it
it's always been foundational for what we do.
Yeah.
But it's like putting it into a package rather than seeing it as a standalone thing. So that forgiveness would be, oh great, they've dealt with their forgiveness issues. Well, when they've done those forgiveness issues, that's it. There is nothing else beyond the forgiveness. Whereas we would see that would then lead to. And for some people, forgiveness may not be the issue. It may be something else. Forgiveness is probably going to be there somewhere, but it may not be the thing that they're struggling with primarily. I mean,
hope. Do you know anybody that could?
Well, potentially, but it may not be the primary thing you start with. See, that has to start with forgiveness. Whereas actually we may have some other things that you start with which then lead to forgiveness, would then lead to something else. Rather than it being a one-track thing, there may be other things that God will reveal in terms of, give us a download of what this would look like for us.
I mean, emotional well-being really is what you want people, isn't it? Regardless of whether if it's hopelessness or if it's unforgiveness or if it's lack of identity, you want people emotionally.
Well,
it's quite a buzzword, isn't it, really, emotional well-being. In a sense of that's the... There's all sorts in it that you could put into that.
Yeah, but then that's... Yeah. What's it, though?
Well, I think that, you know, most people's... When you get down to the root issue of what's going on in people's lives, it's the fact that they have no idea that they belong to God. Because some, you know, even a lot of Christians don't have any idea that their foundation is in Him. And so this wouldn't just apply to the people that we see here, this would apply to everyone who doesn't have that really firm foundation. And the whole having an intervention, a therapy, a sort of a download from God that would help people to actually understand who they are. So they will be making a connection with God, they will be dealing with their unforgiveness, they'll be dealing with their deepest hurts and their needs and their wounds that they've had, but actually reconnecting to God and knowing who they are. So that then that also involves in, you know, what's on their scroll, what's on their destiny, for, you know, what did God say about them before they were even conceived on the earth. So it's much bigger than one. It's like a series of things, if you like, which we may have to break down into a series of things that we put together in a particular order according to the individual. But it all relates to not knowing their identity.
Which, you know, is what essentially lie busting does in its primary root. It's leading people to sonship. Dealing, well, these are the lies you believe about yourself, or you don't believe the truth, whatever which way you look at it. But those, this, we obviously have some aspects of that. But again, that's only part of it. Because in the lie bust, it's like, you know, forgiveness of that lie bust is like, you know, a sentence. And I don't think it really connects with the emotions of, you know, it's just a, well, yeah, you better say the words you forgive somebody as part of the lie bust. I don't think it really goes into it, which is why I think this is more of a multi-stranded thing rather than just a one, you know, solution. I think there are different people who would come into this from different perspectives, you know, but ultimately come to the, this is who I am, and then have hope that there was a better future for them, and in all, every way, in a sense, yeah. Because, you know, we want people to find and fulfil their destiny. Yeah. That's part of our overall mandate, is to do that. But how? So has anyone got any thoughts in terms of what might be interested in looking at that or asking God for a particular download of something to bring into it? It would be helpful, I think, to have more input than just a couple of people, because I think that you're going to get different perspectives and aspects of it. And some of the... Now the restrictions are gone, the potential for other alternative type things, like frequencies and oils and music and other things to which will be part of engaging people, are available. And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, Marketplace, who do the forgiveness therapy, they also do sort of massage stuff, so they can put their hands on people and impart stuff while they're doing it. You know, there's all sorts of things which are potentially very, very helpful in that, creating an environment where frequencies are engaged, or essential oils. I mean, essential oils, people use that. There's even frequency machines that are being used, which not just by Christians, but Christians are now latching onto the fact that frequencies can bring change and transformation to people's lives. You know, there's a whole sort of world of things that God may want us to engage, but we want to make sure only to do the ones that he says.
Yeah.
You know, not just because, hey, there's 101 things out there, let's go and do them all. It's like, no, what's God saying to us? And what would he like us to do here? And don't have any boundaries on what that could be.
Yep.
Let's not sort of tie it down to what we've already got. You know, let's be open. And again, the mountains having different perspectives, harmony has perspectives, I know, in terms of sounds and frequencies and different things, you know. Meditation, relaxation, they're all beneficial to get someone into a point of potentially being more open, being more, to access. When people are fraught and tense and angry and frustrated, they ain't going to connect with much, are they?
It's mindful.
Yeah. Mindfulness. So could all the mountains have a think about that? If you have anything particular that you feel this God's shown us this, whatever, then you can sort of feed that back in. But also, if anyone really feels, that really sort of excites me, being able to engage people like that, and may feel more than just input into it, would like to be involved in producing that or developing that, then good to know. Think about it, talk to your benches, and perhaps we can feedback on that next meeting. There's going to be increasing opportunities for us to get involved in therapeutic interventions, the sort of stuff that I've been privy to at the moment. They're looking for much more holistic approaches, and statutory bodies, commissioners are looking for wider ideas than what they've traditionally done. So this sort of stuff is going to be relevant in the mainstream, as well as just what comes through the doors here. That's cool. Right, not bad. The last thing on the list was discussing mountains and benches. I think we need to look at how we point and approach benches in the future. Ideally, we would have enough people to be on benches without having to be on more than one bench. However, we're not in that position right now. We have to believe that going forward that's going to happen. What we do need to be aware of is that we need to be careful when people are on more than one bench, that they are able to wear the two hats separately and keep the things separate and come from the mountain perspective that they're on and not cross-fertilise, shall we say. We have been looking at the process. Yeah. Well, we do have a process. We just haven't necessarily enacted it fully. Essentially, when it comes to benches, the people who are on a mountain need to feel there. This is someone they would like to invite to be part of that bench. And obviously, if the person isn't interested, then you know it's going to go any further than that, does it? But you know, but if they are interested, then we would like to speak to them before it went any further, and we would like to make sure that those people knew what they were getting themselves in for, into, and that they had a basic level of understanding of government. Otherwise, you know, it isn't just about well, how this person would fit and would be nice friends. It's got to be a governmental perspective, and we would really would expect somebody who was going to become part of a mountain bench to have at least listened to the legislation teaching, so that they have a hey, well, this is the sort of stuff we're talking about when we're talking about mandates and blueprints and engagement, court cases and various things. You know, and then having that person then done that, then they can come back with any questions and we can give a final yes, we feel this will be something. Then we're not saying everyone has to be experts, because none of us are experts, but what we are saying is there does need to be at least a level of understanding, and then the other people on the bench would need to make sure that those that the people were effectively being discipled in it and encouraged in it and whatever. And we, you know, it would be so much easier if people were just on one bench, because then you can focus. You know. And right now, you know, that isn't the case. But there are some people who are on more than one bench who are in the same face, which does at least give a much more sort of connected perspective rather than being on different faces. And I think, you know, if people are on different faces, the relational ongoing connection, which is going to develop a tribe, we would really want people to decide where they are. You know, they need to, where primarily do they feel, and I think those have already chosen to be in a group which is different from one of the other faces that their mountain's on, essentially have probably already done that. But someone who hasn't, then we would be asking for people to think about where is primarily their heart and which mountain is it. Because, you know, in one sense, you're never going to get someone taking a role on a mountain if someone else is in that place, but their heart's somewhere else. You know, so it's not that we can, you know, at this point in time, necessarily not have that, but ideally, if there are people on different faces in mountains, well, I think it would be good for them to look at where does God really want them at this point in time. And where the people are on the same face, then actually there's still time for that to continue to at work, because they're relating to together with one another, even on the face. So I think it'd be worth considering that. And going forward, you know, that our goal would be, you know, you're on the same mount bench as you are group. Face and eventually group. Yeah. Primarily one choice in that.
So, in view of that, is that. I was just thinking about the seven.
Well, the seven's a different thing.
Yeah, right.
Now, ideally, you would want obviously the seven to be seven, you know, who again were focused there and didn't necessarily have to focus elsewhere, but that, you know, that. That isn't the case at the moment, you know, and I think going forward it would be great if that was the case, but you know,
grace required.
So anyone got any thoughts on that? So I don't actually think it applies to anyone. I'm here, so in a sense, no one has to actually make that decision because you're not in that situation. Going forward, obviously, those that are, we would be asking for people to think about it.
Yeah. Are you going to take that out further then? Because there's some people on that don't attend the 12 that would be into. Well, Dan is on freedom and destiny, so he's in the man group.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yes.
So you're going to see him and explain that to him.
Well, ideally, it will be explained
by whom?
By Graham. Yeah. Or you, because you're in the same face, aren't you?
He's not in my man
group. No, he's not. But then I'm not sure there's.
So the 7, he's on the destiny thing and he's on the freedom.
Basically, where is his heart? You know, he's chosen to be in that group. Is that actually where he feels God's heart is for him? And therefore the freedom mountain is not necessarily that, but he probably just needs to think about it.
The others at the moment, now Jeremy and Valtra, aren't they?
They're both in the same face. They're
pretty connected, that one.
And that's fairly, very. Alice, yeah.
And Hazel.
Yeah. But, the Alice situation, Alice has not been ratified by us. We've not actually seen her and agreed that she would be.
I probably need to have a chat with you three then about that, because I thought you would. I was told that you wanted to see me, but nobody said anything, so. It came up in the 7 that the bench would want to talk to Blessing. So I've been waiting.
No, we're going to talk to Alice.
Oh, that's not what I heard.
Yeah, no, we're actually talking to Alice.
Okay.
Because we didn't follow through. When we saw you, and then you said to us, well, we actually think it's okay that Alice will be on that mountain, but then we should have seen Alice. And then we would have asked, as I said, the process earlier, it didn't get any further than that, which is, we didn't do it. Other things came up, various circumstances happened. We should have done that.
Yeah.
So we still need to do that.
Yeah.
I suppose I did ask the question, is it still all right for Alice to come to the mountain? And I was told, that's not a problem. We haven't got a problem with Alice being on the bench. The problem is, we haven't got a problem with Alice being on the bench. We'd just like to ask her a few questions. So that's why the next time we met her.
There's a difference with her coming to your meetings and being installed on the bench.
That's
what I heard, because I wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Yeah, well, you didn't have to do it anyway.
No, I know, but all three.
Well, that's
what do you mean?
But all the people who are invested on mountains are done in spiritually with the three, and then publicly. And neither one of those took place.
So there's some misunderstanding there.
Definitely then.
But we still need to do that process. But there were reasons why it didn't happen, but it didn't happen. But lapse of time is not an excuse for just taking it as read either. So we've got to make sure that the process happens.
Okay.
But there's some stuff we need to talk to Alice about to make sure, just to discuss with Alice.
Yeah, all right. So.
It'll be resolved.
I did a faux pas because I didn't realise, because I thought that it was okay for Mikey to come to the 7, so I misunderstood that also, which is my fault.
I assume she wants to be part of the 7 then.
She really definitely does. And because I'd had a conversation and it was like that you were. Understanding.
It's nothing that we weren't happy, but we still have to follow the process.
I didn't realise that, so I also misunderstood because I thought I'd clarified it with you and it was fine.
It was fine to ask her. That's as far as we got. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I completely misunderstood that as well, also, which, sorry, I misunderstood that. She won't have any problem coming to see you.
Absolutely.
It kind of
is what it is.
But I apologise because I did completely misunderstand. I wouldn't have said to her to come had I thought that
We got excited that.
We were so excited. Yeah. We were like, yes!
Finally,
yes. But,
so I'm apologising because I completely misunderstood it. It wasn't intentional, but I did misunderstand it.
So, can I just ask a question? Did you, as a bench, speak to Mark when Mark went on to the Media Mountain?
That was before we got this process in place.
Oh, right.
We only put the process in.
Retrospective into
it.
You got fired.
You passed. Yeah, but this came up afterwards. Effectively,
Alice was the first person that actually affected.
Okay. I mean, I did ring you initially, but yeah, okay. Maybe I jumped the gun. I apologise.
Yeah, it's just a matter. And in light of now, we're looking at people to choose, then that would be again something we would obviously bring up.
It's not a case of pulling you up, it's more a case of God pulled us up.
Yes.
Okay.
You're supposed to be invested in people following the process, and we didn't.
No.
There was good reason why we didn't, a lot of good reason why we didn't. But then,
but we're
supposed to do the process, and we need to do the process, because God said.
Would you put the process, or have you put the process on Slack so we could all see it? I mean, have you actually got a process?
I think it was written down in the notes when we discussed it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I actually presented it.
So it's on one of the minutes, is it?
It's on the minutes. We also actually presented it on a PowerPoint.
Yeah, actually, it was
one of the way day things.
Yeah. So we did.
Does anyone else remember?
It's like, there we go.
Anyway, we are very sorry.
Because some of it is, looking back, when we were looking, I mean, we talked about mountains in 2011, and it was like 2014 before, you know, 2015 before they were actually publicly invested. So it was quite a long process. And I think our thing was, oh, yippee, someone wants to do it. You know, which was probably not the
much
wisest response. So it was basically great. People were saying, yeah, I'll be on that. We were like, great, go for it. But I don't think that was fair on people without giving them some sort of, hey, this is what this is likely to be about, and actually, do you understand government? Here's some things which, you know, now we've got, we didn't have that stuff back then, now we do.
Yeah.
It now just behoves us not to put people in a vulnerable place without having the support and them knowing what they're letting themselves in for, really. I mean, not that it's a bad thing, it's just, you know, well, obviously we ran into that issue with the health mountain. You know, there were obviously some dynamics that went on, which, you know.
And to be fair, there have been some dynamics with Blessing since, because that process hasn't been followed, so the stuff's crept in that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, I probably need to talk to you about that, because, yes, I don't really know what to say, but how the minutes read was not actually, I don't believe, in line with what actually was said and agreed as a bench, mountain bench. So,
well, I think, you know, we all felt what was posted, what you posted on Slack, we all had questions, lots of questions about it. So it was even before Trish said anything, there were lots of questions and doubts about it.
It's just the unity bit. I didn't know if the unity was about what we had proposed or us the unity as the bench.
Unity as the bench. It was very clear.
Because it actually isn't a bench.
Alice
isn't on that bench.
Yeah.
Because we've not invested on that bench.
It was clear that Trish wasn't comfortable.
But, okay. So, I just feel somebody said one thing to one person, not to the other. But anyway.
Well, what was said here was very clearly a representation of what was presented and was obvious from what was presented.
Right, but I wasn't here, so.
No, but in a sense, what we've said with all the other benches and the seven and everything else, you don't do anything unless there's full agreement. And
but what's difficult is, because Joe's saying she thought there was full
agreement.
Yes,
I understand that.
But it was apparent that night that there wasn't.
Yes,
it was very
and yes.
But then,
and that's, you can't help that, because you thought that there was, but it's apparent that there wasn't.
But I think
that was the unity aspect.
Yeah,
so the dynamic of that is for us is, well, we even haven't agreed for Alice to be on that bench.
Okay.
Officially, and she's not been invested on that bench or publicly recognised as being part of that bench. So it's like if there is an assumption that that's the case, then that isn't sort of a harmonious position with us and that bench. And it also seems that it's not a fully harmonious position within that bench.
No. Which I understand is difficult for you.
Very difficult, yes. Because, you know, Trish and I did a court case, and anyway, it doesn't matter, so...
Yeah. But I think, you see, we wouldn't have necessarily said no at that point in time. Maybe not. No, we'd probably say no for the being on two benches now.
The faces and the faces as well.
So we would view it slightly differently, having looked at, well, how would we want these things to work? But because it's gone on an assumption, then that isn't actually properly governmentally worked through. Yeah. And that in itself, I think, can create a dynamic, because you've assumed something, we have not done what we should have done, and therefore there has been a lack of clarity about it. Which I think has potentially allowed things to stir things up, which, from, you know, because the issue wasn't really about what was presented, it was the fact that it was presented from the blessing bench of three people.
Yeah, it was
when we didn't actually believe
that.
Well, yes, that was
what
was presented. Yes, that was.
It didn't work.
No, that from our perspective, there was a lot of. We didn't understand or didn't quite see how it was, but when you look at, well, this has come from three people as the bench, actually only two people are at that bench from our perspective. so there was a lot of
two people who previously been in agreement were no longer in agreement.
Yes.
So there was disunity.
But I wasn't aware of that.
No. Yeah.
Okay. But
it's changed the fact that it's there.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's right.
Dynamics to deal with.
Yeah.
But these are all sort of things that you learn as you go along, you know, and you don't realise, you know, until it comes up. Okay. Yeah. There was several areas where this fell down, basically. Yeah.
It's a problem with on the job training.
Yes.
For everybody involved.
Just like yes.
You just have to learn from our mistakes and sort of like correct them and go like, oh, okay, now we've got the process sorted out a bit clearer. Until the next time.
Well, the thing is not to let it come between you and Trish or anybody else. You actually got to go and deal with it. And if there's feeling or issues, you need to go and deal with that and not let it.
Oh no, I know.
Between you, because up till now you guys have operated very well together.
Yeah, and I wanted to go up last week, but because she was unwell. Hopefully she'll be around this week.
Euphorbia issues.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. It sounds horrible.
It does sound really nasty.
Can cause blindness.
That's
pretty bad. Alright. Is that enough on that now?
So, for Marika, I'd just leave it that you'll get in contact with her when she comes back then. Is that alright?
We'll have a chance.
Yeah, when we have to see her.
And yes, it is very exciting.
Before you go away, it would be really helpful. So we'd have to wait till you come back before it could join us.
She's back on Wednesday.
She's back this week.
Yeah. Have an AOB when you're
ready.
It's just about treasure.
About what?
Treasure. The chat. Treasure.
Treasure.
From Winifred.
It's been 2 weeks now.
Sorry, the older guy.
Family.
Oh, right.
No, it's not old.
Right, yes. The couple who know Agnes.
The couple with the children.
Yes.
Yes.
So he was there on his own.
He was there on Sunday.
On his own on Sunday.
Okay. Right.
Treasure is cool.
Is he? Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry, what are you on about?
No, I didn't know he was called Treasure.
And he said to Mark, what goes on in the week? Could he join a group? Could he join the church?
Are you going to welcome me? He said.
Yes. Are you going to welcome me?
Welcome me now.
That's the question.
Welcome.
Yes, the process. What's the process?
The process.
If Trisha asked us on Sunday, what do we say? Because
the process would be taken them through the belonging booklet.
Yeah.
Fresh start, belonging.
So
and
we
then
have
they
to
could become part of the group following that.
Okay.
So there maybe can there can be in connection with them to do fresh start and belonging.
That's so if we weren't running a fresh start course,
well, we'd
we
have
do
to do
one on one. Yeah, one for him.
Yeah,
then.
We could work for
family.
Them. I mean, yeah, for them. Yeah. Basically, they're connected with Agnes.
Okay.
And when they were moving down this area, they contacted us, or Jeremy. So Jeremy knew they were coming, but we didn't know that they were going to turn up on the day. It was really strange that there was like two, the other guy, Dominic, was it Dominic?
Dominic, yeah.
Oh, we were
I mean, it was like, you sort of thought, oh, well, they must know each other. Absolutely nothing to do with each other at all. Just bizarre, you see, actually, two sort of ethnic people
yes.
sort of turn up on the same day.
You sort of like to say black.
Say
you
black.
Yeah. You sort of, yeah,
more black. Expensive to say ethnic
yes,
person
yes,
than
yes.
black.
Well, black, yeah. But it was just
someone
funny.
Someone
like, yeah, but they have sort of a connection with Agnes, and Agnes, I think, pointed them this way.
Right.
And they're sort of obviously open to things, but I'm not sure they've got much of a clue about what we will be about.
Who
else?
Yeah.
So, he's not been pressed off the past couple of weeks. He's been
yeah.
obviously the health stuff, and
yeah.
he's happy to keep coming. So,
yeah, yeah.
He's
not health stuff.
Did it run away?
Yeah.
Or the non-health stuff? Mm. Yes.
But yes, I mean, if they would like to do something like that, then we'd obviously need to set something up for them.
Treasure.
Great name.
Yes, yes, yes.
So he's going to send us treasure.
yeah, God, yes.
Is
right. we actually have a literal.
This is
some literal treasure that's turned up.
We also had a family come on Sunday from Taunton.
Okay.
Who.
James, he was a nice guy.
They. He'd picked up on Ian Clayton's teaching.
Okay.
And then come here because God got him on a journey for the past. However many months he's been reading Ian Clayton's book and listened to podcasts, which then led into your teaching.
Yeah.
So he looked up our website and they came on Sunday. They're currently part of Vineyard Church in Taunton.
Okay. Yeah.
And I went and spoke to Rachel, his wife, and they've got three daughters. And Rachel was very much, James is on the journey. James is really excited about this, and I know that there's something going on, but I'm like, But the thing is, although I love the people in our church, not feeling like fit, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, it sounds like God's got you on a bit of a journey,
yeah,
sort of
yeah,
changing
yeah.
you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I don't want you to think that they're not very nice or anything. It's like, I don't think that at all, so that's fine.
Yeah,
but there's potential that they may come. I've said to James that there's Engaging God program if he wants to find out a bit more. But I was talking to her in the lounge before we started, and I was explaining about stuff, and she's like, well, how does it work? What's going on? And I was talking to her about love and that God wants everybody to be in relationship so that they really know him themselves, so they don't need to wait for somebody to tell them what God is saying, that God wants to talk to you individually. And she was just like, okay. And first of all, I thought, oh, is she getting this? And then she's like, I'm really sorry, I'm just trying not to cry. And she was blinking. And so God's obviously got them both on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they come back or not, too, I'm not sure. I'd explained about not having like children to church because we want the children to be involved, and would that be a problem for you? And she was like, no, not really, because the girls don't really like children's church where we're going, and so I'd be happy just to sit in the lounge with them and listen to what's going on and soak up the atmosphere.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
But they were lovely, weren't they?
Well,
they were really lovely.
Mm.
So.
And what sort of age were they?
They were young, weren't they? Yeah. Sort of, well, you know.
Younger than us. That's, yeah, that's, what does that mean?
all
under 12?
Younger than us.
The children.
Well, I meant the adults.
I meant the children, because it's like the children's going to point sort of what the adults are going
to
be.
Okay, youngest was about Lily's age, going up
okay.
to possibly about 10, 12.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
10 was my guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and adults, I guess,
sweet.
Between our age and Sam and Beth's age. Mid-thirties, I'd say. He's a teacher. Really starting to actually operate in government.
Yeah.
Spiritual government.
Yeah, in the school.
Been taking spiritual government over the school he's in. And even as he said, his head teacher, no, deputy head, comes and says to him, got a situation, I've got a bit of homework for you. Even though she's not Christian or anything, so he's obviously seeing results. So really, really interesting. So I did encourage him to look at the engaging work programme as a way forward to learning how to practically apply it, and that what you do with connecting with people. But also I said to Rachel, if she's got any questions about anything, because I knew that they had to rush off because that they were going to the beach with the girls and they were getting restless, to give us a ring or talk about stuff if you're not sure if God's stirring something in you and you feel like you want to make a more a bigger connection, then to give us a call. But they were really lovely, weren't they?
Yeah, nice chat with them.
Yeah.
Excellent. Any more businesses? That's probably enough for tonight then. That's cool.
I must say we didn't we didn't look at the law that Sam posted on Slack, but we do need to look at that for review over the
next week.
Yes.
We're going to here.
Especially the grammatical editor.